Hi, and welcome to the Flute Talk Podcast, where we talk about all things flute live here on Patreon. What is Patreon? Patreon is a place for fans like you to come and support creators like us. For as little as $2 a month, you can join in on this live show once a month. Plus, we'll send you the popular 5-minute warm-up for Flutists in a Hurry as a gift for being so awesome. Plus, we'll give a shout-out to all of our patrons in our podcast. This plus many more perks and tiers await you. So why not join us over on Patreon and help us continue to make great content? The Flute Talk Podcast is also brought to you by the Flute Center of New York. The Flute Center of New York has the world's largest selection of flutes. If you need to buy a flute or piccolo, the Flute Center of New York has you covered. With our code TFC at checkout, you can try up to 3 to 4 flutes for up to 10 days, have an extended 18-month warranty, and free shipping worldwide. So be sure to go to the website flutes4sale.com. So that's flutes4sale.com, flutesforsale.com. Just be sure to use that code TFC for all those perks, and a little bit of that does go our way. Another sponsor is, well, ourselves. We have a store. If you haven't noticed yet, we have a store over at store.theflutechannel.com. We have some shirts and posters and things like that over at Teespring. So you can definitely go there and get some merch, posters, whatever you'd like that we have, it will be there. You'll probably notice it under our videos. If you're interested, be sure to go to store.theflutechannel.com. That helps us out immensely. So yeah, on with the show.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Flute Talk Podcast. I'm Nick.
And I'm Emily.
Hi Emily, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
So yeah, this is the podcast that's over here on Patreon, and we're going to be asking some questions from the Patreon group. Sigrid has a question, and also we're going to talk a little bit about auditions, whether they're professional auditions, but specifically college auditions or, you know, high school auditions and stuff like that, and how you would prepare, or if you have any tips like that. If you want to join us over on Patreon and join us in live, be sure to go and check it out for as little as $2 a month. It helps us out to produce the show, also produce all of our other shows and all of our videos over on YouTube, and that definitely helps us out tremendously. So yeah, Sigurd wants to know, and he wants to know, how do you find the time and motivate yourself to practice when your daily life is already very packed? Lack of time is one thing. Even when there's a 30 minutes or an hour of free time in the day, you feel that very tired, that you just want to sit down and have a cup of tea instead of practicing.
Yeah.
That's a very good question.
That's difficult sometimes.
Yeah, it's definitely a real life struggle for many people, for sure.
Yeah, because...
There we go.
Many people have a very busy life.
Totally.
Maybe. There's different ways, you know. You should look at your day and... or your week, and try to find little spots, even if sometimes it's just 20 mm-hmm. minutes here and there, but spots that are easy to keep, you know? And it doesn't have to be every day. You can start with saying 3 or 4 times 20 minutes,
right.
You know? And then also sometimes we underestimate mornings. Sometimes we're more awake in the morning and more motivated to do those types of things. So you can also do, I don't know. And you can also separate your practice. Let's say do a little bit of sound and scales in the morning.
Right.
And then that takes you 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the evening, before dinner or after dinner or whatever, you find another 15, 20 minutes to mm-hmm. do other stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that can be a way. Like, 10 minutes is easy to find. So if you do a little bit of sound and a scale or two, it doesn't take much more than 10 minutes.
No, exactly.
Then in the evening, you do your repertoire, studies, whatever. That can be a way to do it. But the best way, I think, for a lot of people is to make a schedule and keep your schedule. But make a realistic schedule. If you know that it's difficult for you to practice, you don't even do an hour a week, and you put 5 hours next week, it's going to be difficult to keep up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I would make it realistic, and then if you see that it's going well, maybe gradually you can put more time. And another thing that we often that we often neglect is practicing that is not real practicing, but that is so good. Like yesterday, I was giving a lesson, and my student said the evening before, he thought, oh, I want to look through the piece once more before the lesson, but it was late, didn't want to make noise, so he put the recording and just did the fingerings, and then realized, oh, my time is off here and here, and then it helped his rhythm a lot. And that maybe 5 minutes that he did without even playing for real was more efficient than probably an hour of practicing with the wrong rhythm without noticing. You know, so you maybe you can take your tea sometimes with your music next to you and listen to the music while looking at it, you know. Maybe you can take your tea and do your fingerings, you know. Sometimes there's other ways when you're very tired to further your progress in music that are not necessarily taking your flute and playing per se. And sometimes those things are even more efficient in many ways.
What would you do if they had, they didn't know what type of things to put into their practice? Maybe that's a problem for themselves. And, you know, some people self-teach and stuff like that. Do you think there are some things that they can start off with? Because I think some people also
don't know what to practice. Don't know how to practice. Organize their practice.
Those two things are possibly very they coalesce with each other. Yeah.
Well, I think a good way to organize your practice is do a little bit of sound exercise, like warm up type of thing, long notes or octaves or something that will help you put. Just focus on your sound.
Right.
That you're not focusing on anything else, just making a beautiful sound. It's like a meditative thing almost, you know? And then maybe a scale or a technical exercise that is at your level. And then studies are very good because studies take those scales that you learn or exercise or scales in thirds or arpeggios or whatever you're learning. They take those words and put them into sentences, you know? And studies, they're good for developing sight reading and technique and musicality. I think it's a good thing to learn one a week, you know. Find a book that of studies that's just the right level for you. So it's a bit challenging, but not too much that you have to spend too much time on it. You should be able to learn it in a week, you know. And it doesn't have to be completely perfect, but good enough. So you have to find the right. So I would do a little bit of that, and then a piece of the repertoire that you'll work on for a longer period of time. Like studies, I think you change every week, but repertoire you can keep
for a while.
A while, you know. You can have something more challenging that you'll. And it's a different way to approach it, especially if you have, let's say, a piano part. Then you have to learn to play with the other instrument. That's another challenge that you don't have in your study. So that's how I would do it. Let's say, like, percentage-wise, if you practice an hour, I would say 5 to 10 minutes of sound, and then maybe 10 minutes of scales. We're at 20 minutes. Then maybe 10, 15 minutes of your studies, and then you add the rest for repertoire, you know. Sometimes it might take you more time on your scales, and you'll have, you know, it's not a perfect exact science, but yeah, and it depends what you need to work on the most, but that's like a general
thing. Yeah, super interesting. Do you feel that people who like he was saying, I think Sigurd was saying that the stresses of trying to practice even 30 minutes a day, what if, you know, the day, a week, a regular work week, some people just don't have time, maybe one or two of those days. So would you recommend like spreading it out throughout a week so that there's a consistency, or would you try to force to do it every day, or how would you go about doing
like
that?
Like I said before, I would take my weekly schedule.
Makes sense.
And then try to find spots in there instead of saying every day at that time.
Right.
Because let's say you have kids and they have soccer one day and your other kid has... like, your days are not exactly the same. every day, but you can make a time for yourself.
Yeah, there are differences when there you really look at it sometimes.
There are differences in your schedule from one day to the other day. So maybe, I think it's a good way to take your weekly schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you can do it every day, it's cool, but absolutely. Maybe it won't be at the same time every day because maybe your schedule is a bit different from day to day.
Yeah.
And as I said, something that's realistic so that you can keep it up, you know?
Yeah.
And you can adjust it. If you realize, on that day it doesn't work, I'm way too tired, maybe I should move it to earlier or, you know, or that day is the day where I don't take my flute, but I listen to my repertoire.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, or I read my music in bed.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Totally. Because that's a day where I'm very tired.
Yeah, but
and you have to adjust, and you know, if one day it's scheduled but you're sick, well, you're sick, you know. Mm-hmm. We have to live with what happens in life.
Yeah, because it's okay if you practice in the morning one day and then the afternoon another day, like any time of the day doesn't matter. I think a lot of people can jump to that and be able to be, oh yeah, there is time right there, that's good. Yeah, because people like
when I was
consistency,
a student,
but
it was easy
possible.
To almost do it every day at the same time because I had not that much to do compared to now.
Exactly. And there was already kind of the scheduling for school tends to be very concrete. So then you really know what times you have available.
Yeah. And I knew I'm going to university for that course. I bring my flute and then I have a quick lunch and then I can do a big part of my practicing, you know.
Yeah.
Like it was pretty easy to make it happen, but now with adult life, it's a bit different, you know?
Yeah, I think with most of our viewers, they tend to be more of the adult kind, the ones that don't have school anymore or never had it for music.
Yeah.
So
and also
these are definitely
students,
good tips that you give,
some
for sure.
Students work a lot and don't have that much time either, so...
Right, they're balancing their work music life or work hobby life or whatever you want to call it, you know, and then... Yeah, it's...
But I think also when you don't have a lot of time to practice, I like using the two modes of learning, like focused attention and then diffused attention, and mix them up, you know? So maybe it's better to do just 10 minutes very focused on a tough part, because sometimes we practice a piece and we have a difficulty with two lines, but we practice the whole thing.
Right.
Maybe it's more efficient, even if it's more tiring, and maybe it's not as cool to play the tough stuff than to play the things that we sound good at, but practicing the things that are really a challenge for you, but just 10 minutes very intensely, and then let it go, because you can't focus that intensely for a long period.
No.
And then you go and do something else, and you come back later.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes that's more efficient than trying to punch time.
Yeah.
Because practicing is not about punching time.
No. Nope.
And so you can have a focused mode of attention where you go, okay, I'm learning this. It's tough and I'm 100% there. But you'll get tired quickly.
Yeah.
So you don't need that much time at once. So you do that. But you can use diffuse mode when you take a walk and do other stuff. It's still working in the back of your head. And diffuse mode can also be used as just you're doing the dishes and the music you're learning is playing in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just making its way into your brain without a big effort.
Yeah. And there's a lot of... Right now I'm doing a lot of research on sleep, but also learning and how, like, there's an input mode. And you're just, you know, when you're practicing, it's inputting and putting stuff in. But then there's also like an offline mode or an off-put, I guess, or offline, in that you're doing, like doing something else. Like your brain is now compressing and making sense of all that stuff that you just did, because it's not necessarily making all the sense yet when you're playing right at the moment.
No.
You're just inputting data, and then your brain is like this massive data center that's like, oh, we have all this data now. Now we can put it here, 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 and then compress it, make it make sense so that you can go back to it short-term or long-term. And then sleep is the best part. Sleep is like the defragmentation. It's like a computer term that takes all that stuff and puts it all together in one thing for that day. Like it compresses all that empty space that was kind of like nothingness, like things. The brain's very good at differentiating really, really like boring things and then really, really important things. And then it kind of gets rid of all that boring stuff
through sleep,
and then puts all those things together. And there's some really interesting research about that. And I think if we start paying more attention to that and not like jamming pack full of like, oh, I have to learn this, it's going to be learned right now. No, yeah. It's not going to be learned right now. In fact, it's going to be learned later.
And as a learner, I also did a lot of research about learning.
Yeah, yeah, but that, totally, yeah, like you just said, yeah.
But now I feel it for myself when sure. It's enough. I'm like, okay, that's enough for today.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do much. Like yesterday, I started practicing a concerto that I'm going to perform in May. I didn't practice much, maybe 20 minutes. I read the whole thing, wrote little things, and I was like, okay, I'm going to sleep, and I'm going to come back at it tomorrow.
Yeah.
And now I know, okay, today I'm going to do just maybe one page that I saw was the toughest page, and I'll start with that because that will take my brain more time to get it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was younger, I would postpone practicing the tough things and do the things that I sounded good in.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not efficient.
No.
That's fun, but it's not efficient. So if you don't have a lot of time and you want to progress a lot, do the other way around. Go to the tough stuff, very focused for a shorter amount of time.
Yeah, because in fact, you're practicing that short-term memory that's been compressed. Is like, yeah, this is important. It's going to be there. You can rely on it. You don't have to practice it 100 times. Maybe just practice it 10 times and then move on.
Maybe I'll have to practice it 100 times, but if I...
Like the easy stuff is what I meant. Time, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the easy stuff
is what I meant. The easy stuff,
but the tough stuff...
But not the tough stuff. Tough stuff's not there yet.
No, and I won't probably do it 100 times in a row.
Yeah.
I might do it 10, 20 times and leave it there
totally.
And let it work on its own.
Yeah.
And that's why when you talked, like if we can make a transition
to
the other thing, the other subject you wanted to talk about, which was preparing for auditions.
Yeah.
That's why you should prepare a long time in advance.
Yep, because our brain only has a certain amount of RAM in the day. And like having that ability to be like, oh, that's enough, because you still have to reserve a lot more of that RAM in your head that day for other things in life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and also there's the focused attention.
Yeah.
You can't do that for 3 hours in a row.
But that's what that's telling you, that focused attention. Yeah, you're
so
right.
So at one point you have to go to diffuse attention. Like when I'm doing other stuff in my life, I don't need that focused attention. But
exactly.
When you learn music, when you're writing something important, like you need the focused attention.
Yeah, you need the focused attention.
And... yeah, that's why I'm like, okay, that's enough of that attention, especially if it's very new and I'm learning every note and that's a contemporary music, like, so it's not just a D major scale and, you know, it takes a bit more of my attention. Yeah. So I know myself and I know when to stop so I'm not learning mistakes.
Exactly.
And so I just let my brain do its job and I trust that my brain will do its job.
Yeah, totally.
But that's why when you have an audition, first thing you should do, you want to audition somewhere, is... see what are the requirements.
Yeah, for most
first
of those
thing,
places, totally.
And then pick what you're going to play. If they say two pieces of one classical or baroque and another modern, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, pick them right away, you know, or take some that you already learned, but make sure you know what's required.
Yeah, well in advance.
As much as you can, you know, so that you can be prepared. My piano teacher in high school, she used to say, we should know our stuff a month before the concert or audition and I liked that about her. We would be ready. And she was like, the date is that, you have to know it by this date.
Oh, yeah, you have to know it before,
you have
well
to know
before,
it
yeah.
A month ahead, because the last month we're just gonna you know, play it.
Yeah.
Keep make it even more solid, but
comfortable,
you'll be way more comfortable, and psychologically it's more you feel way more comfortable if you really know that you know it. You know, you're like, I've been playing it for a month very well, so it's part of me now. You know,
For college auditions, I think that would be a very good plan as well. And like, even for auditions for high school band or anything like that, also playing it in front of people as much as you can. I know for orchestra auditions it can also work for you, but remember, when you go to those types of things, you usually don't see the people. So it's kind of a bit of a...
yeah, but you can also do that.
Keep practicing.
You can ask someone to
stay behind a door and listen. Yeah, stay behind
a
door and listen. Yep, totally. You don't have to make a screen or anything. Just have them sit beside the door and you still have that presence that someone is there listening to
you. And they can still write comments.
Yeah, they can even write comments. Anyone. It doesn't have to be a professional, just somebody, just so that you have that feeling.
But I think preparing ahead is good. Like, of course, preparing ahead. If you don't have that luxury because you learned about the audition and it's last minute, well, you do your best.
Yeah, you do your best.
But then I would say try to do something. If you have a choice, do something that you already know. Don't start something new if you're last minute. You know, try to give yourself a chance.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and to go back like to those ones that you have to for long-term prep, you know, I think a lot of people over-focus on it. Like, say they have 8 months in advance and they know their thing, or maybe even a year. I would still say play other pieces too. Like, learn other stuff for yourself, because a year is a long time, and you should diversify yourself and learn other pieces as well as learning the thing you're supposed to do for your audition. Because I think a lot of people also tend to kind of razor focus on it. I mean, I think it's a bit gets boring eventually sometimes.
Maybe, but it also depends on the time that you have. Yeah. You know, I remember in high school for flute, there was a big competition at the end of the year, and my teacher would give me a very tough piece because he knew I loved challenges.
Yeah.
Like a piece that I would look at the beginning of the year, and I was oh my God, how am I going to do that, you know? But he would also give me studies and scales and other stuff, but that was like my main piece.
Yeah, you had a main focus. Yeah,
yeah, but I liked it because I still played studies. I still learned other stuff, but it's like every year I had a big step because he would give me something. But I think we're all different type of learners as well, so you have to respect that.
That's
you know?
What I mean. Like,
you have to just to know what type of learner you are, and also that's the job of the teacher to see what type of learner you are.
Yeah, if what you're type a patient of motivations you have. Yeah.
Learner, if you like having a huge challenge but do less, or you like to do a lot of different things, or you know.
Yeah. Do you think it comes down to sort of like figuring out what your own motivations are on a daily basis towards that subject? That can help,
maybe,
you know?
Not on a daily basis.
No, but I mean like throughout your but I mean once you know it once, it applies to the rest is what I meant. Not like reevaluating every day. I mean,
yeah, what's your motivation?
What type of motivation of learning do you have?
Do you get discouraged if it's too difficult? Right. You know, I have some students I know how. You know, they call it the proximal zone of development in psychology. It's like the zone where you're challenging yourself, so you're learning. It's a bit difficult for you, but it's not so difficult that you're not learning anymore because you don't understand anything. Mm-hmm. So you have to figure out what's your proximal zone of development.
Mm-hmm.
I think for some people, they can go a bit above what they don't know, and they're still not discouraged.
Mm.
Some people, it's going to be overwhelming.
Right.
But anyways, everyone's progressing. It doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe you'll need to have one or two pieces before you get to the other one, or...
Yeah.
But it all depends. Because
I
was going to him and saying, I love challenges, you know?
Sure.
And he was like, oh, here's one.
Right.
You know? So, but other people, that's not how they learn. And it's all...
No, it all depends.
Okay,
yeah,
we all,
totally.
You know, but he would still give me other pieces that were not, but I didn't learn them as well because I was not going to perform them, you know?
Yeah. Do you feel that there's at least a few common things that everyone shares in learning and how to learn?
Yeah. Like the different types of focus, the different types of attention, focused and diffuse, and also the proximal zone of development exists for everyone. It's just it's the job of the teacher, or if you're self-learning, your job to see. It's more difficult if you're learning by yourself because you don't really know what the difficulties are before you learn it, so that's a bit more difficult for you to do that, but sometimes you can find a method and then it should follow a certain path that should be logical.
Yeah.
So those types of that's for everyone.
Yeah.
You know? And we all need time out, like time without the instrument where we sleep, and we all need to sleep. Sleep is
totally
so important to learn.
Yeah.
When we sleep, our brain gets rid of toxins in our it's only when we sleep that we get rid of those toxins.
Yeah.
So we need to sleep.
Totally.
To learn and to have a healthy brain. And because practice 8 hours a day. Yeah, but sleep. And make your practice efficient.
Yeah.
Practice the tough stuff, you know?
Yeah, totally. Because I think even gym people don't go to the gym for 8 hours. They go hard for 2 hours or hard for 1 hour, and then they go about their day. I think 8 hours is this thing that I think people shouldn't try to achieve at all, because it's not about how much you check in. It's not about how much you put in. It's about how much you can
it's
handle.
A bit of both. Yeah, like you need to have to put a little bit of time if you want to become good. Yeah. But there's ways to make that time more efficient than others.
Yeah, totally.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, if you're just punching in and you're not paying attention because you're too tired and you're learning mistakes, then the time you're putting in the instrument is not mm-hmm. even helpful.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are things like... what are things like people should expect when they go into the room for an audition, like, say, college auditions? Some people, they obviously maybe never have done them. Their first one's going to be their first one ever, and they have maybe three or four ahead of that one. Maybe they're auditioning in different schools and stuff like that. I know, at least I'll start with just one thing, is that prepare everything, but don't plan to play everything.
No, they don't need to hear that much to know your level.
Yeah.
Probably after 10 seconds, they kind of know your level.
Yeah, I would say.
They know your sound, they know your articulation, they know... Like, it's pretty fast.
They're going to probably give you about 3 to 5 minutes. Yeah. And then don't think, because they stopped you, that it went horribly. It's not that case. It's because there's a long lineup of other people.
And they know what
they
need to know.
They need to know.
Sometimes they ask for different things, they'll stop you in a piece and they say, can you play this
now?
Exactly, yeah. And can you play that now? They don't need to hear, let's say, you prepared a movement of Mozart concerto. Yeah. They don't need to learn to hear the whole first movement.
Yeah, they hear things just
maybe
the exposition.
The exposition, and then they'll be like, okay, that's good. Can you play a scale in Tafanel Gopal? Let's say they ask for that.
Sure.
Then can you play B flat? Yeah. And then, okay, now can you play your other piece that's slow, because they want to see musicality?
Yeah.
Can you play your, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to hear the
No,
the
they
whole
don't.
Thing.
And...
They
yeah.
might not ask for scales if they hear your piece and their scales and she knows her scales or he knows her scales.
Yeah, exactly.
His scales.
Yeah, I wouldn't, like those in-between seconds when people transition to another thing, I think if you can develop a thing, be like, oh, it's just next thing, you know, let's do the next thing. Instead of like maybe, you know, the inside voice, it comes in right away very fast and hits hard, you know.
I think you're so right. And I think when you're in the process, you shouldn't overanalyze what's going on.
Yeah, totally.
Just be in the moment and do what you have to do. And
do
don't
told,
try to evaluate how it's going while it's going.
Yeah.
Because the energy you're going to put at evaluating, you're not putting at doing.
Mm-hmm.
And just do what you have to do. You don't have any control over them. You have control over yourself. They ask for something, you play it. Don't judge.
Yeah.
Also, if you hear people through the door playing before you, I've said it a lot, but people sound better through a door. Mm-hmm. You don't hear the wind in the sound. You don't hear the little psh in the sound. The articulations sound better. Everything sounds better through a door.
Yeah, it's a door filter. It just frequencies don't go through.
And so you might think, oh, that person is way better than me. Oh, they're all way better than me. And plus you're nervous, so you can... Like, that's a... Like... Not listening to that voice and maybe reprogramming that voice to say other stuff, you know?
Or do nothing
as
well,
keeping it busy, saying, just focusing on your breathing.
Mm-hmm.
Or telling that voice, I find what helps a lot is telling that voice, I don't have time for this right now. I'm going to take care of you later.
Mm.
When I meditate, I don't meditate that much, but that's what I do, and that's a technique that was I don't know if I read it or I heard it somewhere, to say to that voice without being rude to it, like, it sounds funny, but without being rude to it, because it's part of our brain, it's part of our survival mechanisms to find what's negative because we want to survive, but it's not helpful in that situation. So it's not that it's a good thing or a bad thing, that voice, it's just that it's not appropriate right now. So just saying, okay, I hear you. I don't have time for this right now. I'm going to deal with you later.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it works very well. When I'm trying to just meditate and breathe and be focused and these things happen, and then in concert, I can use it too and be like, I don't have time for this. I'm going to deal with you later.
Sure.
A thought that's just doesn't need to be there.
Yeah. Also, yeah, that's a good way of doing it too.
Or you can like put your attention somewhere else, yeah. And then that has to go because you can't put it in two
sure,
places.
That's what I was sort of kind of gonna say was like, I think one thing that helps a lot of people, even helped me, is like if there's a person who's gonna talk to you in the audition, just repeat what they say. Play your piece, and they're like, oh, now play this piece. And you're like, oh, okay, now I play this piece. And then you begin.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
You're repeating your head. You replace that voice with their voice, and then you keep moving with them. It's just you do as you say. That way, in the moment, you're doing as you say. You're in that moment of playing and doing those things. It tends to help a lot, too, if you don't have time to reprogram and all those types of things.
So you keep your inner voice busy.
Yeah, because you just keep it busy with, you pause and listen, do it, and then repeat
now
it, and then you go there.
Piece.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a good way.
Because it
instead
just goes by quickly.
Saying, oh, they didn't want to hear that.
Because there's so much energy is being wasted.
Enough,
yeah, because that's all energy, and the human body has only a certain amount of energy, and not unlimited. Like
no,
in that moment.
Focus
and the
on
moment
three
you start doing,
it,
and that just burns your energy, and then you have only this much left to play now.
Yeah.
And then
and
what's going to happen?
And it's bringing your attention back, like when I'm playing and I start judging, either good or bad. Mm-hmm. Even judging
positively,
oh, that's good. It's still
wasted
energy, and it's still a judgment. And I try not to do that.
It's
so
not really in the moment either.
It's
kind of like
the
passive
you're
thing.
In
the past.
You're
in
like,
the past.
Oh, that went well. I bring myself back right away to sometimes very technical things.
Right.
I name the notes in my head. I say breathe.
Mm-hmm.
I come back in the moment, and that's something to work on.
Totally.
Staying in the moment and being the master of your attention.
Yeah, totally.
Kind of, you know. You decide where you put your attention.
Exactly.
It's not scattered. It's not all over the place, and then it ends, and you're like, "Where was I?"
Yeah, where was I? Exactly.
Because I've been there.
Yeah.
Where was I? And
yeah.
And bringing it back, and so sometimes accepting what's happening too. Sometimes you'll be tired or nervous.
Yeah.
And last summer it happened to me. I was very tired, and I didn't feel as well as I usually feel playing. And I said, well, that's life. I'm tired. My body's not doing what I wanted to do, but I'm going to, I just put all my focus. And at the end, it went pretty well. But I thought instead of fighting it and be angry at my body for not responding in the way I wanted to, because I was cold and I started feeling shaky because it was cold in the concert room. And I think I was a bit hungry, so that I just thought it's what's happening. My body can't do better. It's cold, I'm hungry, and
totally.
And then by accepting it, I think it kind of went away after a minute or two. And I thought, I'm playing, I'm gonna get warmer, because there's spots, and then I focused on what I can control, because that I was not
able
to. I just had to accept it. But it's I think it's a lifetime of a path that you follow your whole life, like of research
and experience,
knowing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're very lucky as musicians. I know sometimes it's stressful, but because we have to deal with that stress, it kind of forces us to get to know ourselves better and understand our minds better. And I think it's a good, opportunity.
Well, that's a good way to close out things, unless you have any closing remarks that you want to say about that subject.
No.
Yeah. If you guys have any questions or comments for this subject about auditioning or anything like that, be sure to let us know down in the comment box below, or also on Patreon. If you're also on this thread, you want to kind of continue on that thread just through Patreon, we'll definitely be able to comment a little bit more in depth with you there over on Patreon. So yeah, we do this over on Patreon. How many times do you say Patreon? And you can join us there for as little as $2 a month. And that helps us to produce this show, produce all of our other shows, and make more videos over on YouTube. It's very generally supported. Money goes to us directly to be able to invest more into this, and we have several people there already, so yeah. You should definitely consider joining.
And people on Patreon have access to the live show and can ask questions.
That's exactly it. They have access to this live show privately, so we share that first with them, and we join in a discussion with them if they're in the chat, or we answer their questions that they leave there. It's definitely this really great forum that we are able to kind of dive deeper with people who support us in that way through Patreon. Also, we have the Flute Center of New York, which is if you need to find a flute, you can definitely, or a piccolo, or any type of instrument like that, flute, piccolo. I think they even have altos. You can go to Flutes for Sale. New and used, yeah.
Huge selection.
Totally, biggest selection in the world. You can go to flutesforsale.com. All the information is down below, but you can try up to 3 to 4 flutes for up to 10 days. Have an extended warranty of 18 months once you buy. And free shipping. They free ship all the flutes for you to try, and then you return the ones back, and then that's that. You can also call them, and they're all flutists there, and they're very, very polite and very informative about all the flutes that are there. So yeah, you can definitely check them out. We get a commission from this code, which is TFC. If you go through checkout or on the phone, you just mention the code TFC. And we get a small commission from that, and that helps us directly and goes right to making more videos and stuff like that. We've definitely have sold quite a bit of flutes. A lot of people have gone out there and bought flutes, which
Thank
is great.
Thank you so much for using our code.
Yeah, totally. And also check out our store at store.theflutechannel.com. And that's where we have all of our shirts, mugs, posters. Our poster is selling quite a bit right now, so if you want to go and look at that, it's our flute fingering chart poster. Comes in this nice colorful one and also a black and white one.
And there's also the trill fingerings, I think.
Yeah,
you
trill
put
fingers
there,
is the complete.
And scales,
yeah.
Scales and arpeggios.
Yeah, scales and arpeggios. So it's a full
you
thing.
Get
you can
a
see,
lot
yeah, you can that. See the whole photo there. And it's a gigantic poster. It's very nice. So be sure to get the right measurement so it can fit on your wall wherever it is. And yeah, so check out that. And then also, if you want lessons with Amelie, you can go and email us at info@theflutechannel.com or go on our website and fill out the online form there for teaching, which is theflutechannel.com. And yeah, we have a couple students. You have a couple students online already, which is fun. And we've gotten more since.
It works very well on like, I really like teaching like that online.
Yeah, it's really, really
because
fun.
Because I see the student very well, and I have my music. Like, yeah,
it's really worked out a lot better than like what's it's like really fine tuned now and really fun and.
I think it's an adjustment at the beginning, but now I'm used to it and I like it a lot.
Yeah, so you can definitely check that out and email us, and we can definitely send you scheduling, rates, all the information that you need for that, and yeah, so we will be back again in 1 month. Be sure to go on Patreon, check it out. If you haven't ever checked out Patreon, everything's down in the description box or here on the screen. And hopefully you consider coming over on Patreon and helping us out even more. So until February, the end of February, the last Sunday of February, we'll see you guys next time.
See you.
Bye.